But continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of knowing of whom thou hast learned them. And that from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, and instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. These words I just read were from St. Paul the Apostle's letter, second letter to Timothy, setting forth, telling him, of course, speaking of the Old Testament, of course, the Gospel had not been put together, but that likewise all Scripture, that includes the New Testament, which we now have, is by inspiration of God. It is His Word. I read again the collect for today, this being Bible Sunday. Blessed Lord, who has caused all Holy Scripture to be written for our learning, grant that we may in such wise hear them, read, mark, learn, and inwardly digest them, that by patience and comfort of thy holy word, we may embrace and ever hold fast the blessed hope of everlasting life, which thou hast given us in our Savior, Jesus Christ. The reformers in England put this together, and of course, it was by the inspiration of God himself. The words of it show us that they're concerned that the scriptures would not only be part of the liturgy, which they absolutely need to be for doctrine, but also for us to read, learn, and then will be digest. So the church, in her wisdom, her godly wisdom, has set this Sunday at the beginning of the church year to be that time where we realize when we're expecting our Lord in the liturgy to come the first time, we're looking for that increasing light as these candles, as the light increased, that the deacon forgot the light, but anyhow. But in this increasing light, we first go back to where the Word, before the Word became incarnate, that the Word was out there, and the prophets, that we would learn from the prophets to know that the Messiah was coming. And then, in real time, our time now, because we are measured by time and space, God speaks to us through His Word, rehearsing what the prophets said, knowing that these things that happened in Christmas were true. They were forecast hundreds of years, Isaiah and Jeremiah, 600-700 years before our Lord came, that things happened exactly as they had foretold. So, also as we, in Advent, the second part of this idea of Advent is that God, Jesus Christ, will return. We hear that. Do we really believe that? I have to sort of pinch myself and slap myself in the face. This is real. God said it. He would come. And He will come again. We have to be prepared. I'm certainly not a date setter. Our Lord said, the Son of Man knoweth not the hour which He will return. So we have to be careful not to get into that trap of saying, well, this has happened. It's going to happen. Right. We don't know. But it could happen before this service is over. It could be 500,000 years from now. We don't know that. But we're supposed to be prepared for that. The Holy Scriptures teach us that. So the idea that the Scriptures, as we read them now, can nourish us, help us to live the way God intends us to live, to be expectant of His second coming. Now I go to the collect for the first Sunday of Advent, which covers what we talk about during the season of Advent. There are four last things. They're not ordinarily taught in a lot of churches. The four last things that we must consider, a little hard to talk sometimes about, death, judgment, heaven or hell. The scriptures assure us, and we know that death is a sure thing. The old saying, only sure things are death and taxes. But seriously, we have to prepare for that. Judgment comes at the point of our death. That's the theme for this second Sunday of Advent. Again, that's why we are wise about reading the scriptures, that we know how to prepare for that time. If we should predecease his second coming, we're prepared. If we should be here when he comes back, we will be prepared. And then next Sunday, which is often called Gaudete Sunday, Rose Sunday, the idea of these things lightens a little bit. Then we talk about heaven. So it sort of relate to the fourth Sunday, I believe, is in Lent, Laetare Sunday. Rejoice, rejoice. Because then we can think about heaven. That's what we hope again, by God's grace, we will. And then the last Sunday in Advent is a certainty of hell if we do not repent. So I read again. I think it's important to analyze these collects. Sometimes we just read through them. I'm guilty of it myself until I start to study them. But I read again the collect for all of Advent. Almighty God, give us grace that we may cast away the dark works of darkness and put upon us the armor of light. Now in the time of this mortal life, here and now, in which thy Son Jesus Christ came to visit us in great humility. Christmas, of course. Then on the last day, when he shall come again in his glorious majesty, the first time he came a baby. He came, he shed his blood, I was talking earlier to somebody, that Christ fulfilled the law at his very coming. In 8 days, he started fulfilling the law by his circumcision, complying with the law, the Jewish law. When he comes back, as the hymn low comes with clouds descending, he will come in dreadful majesty. He will be a king. He will not be in a manger. He will be the judge and the king. Right? Today we consider him as the suffering servant who gave his life on the cross. But when he comes back, he will be robed in dreadful majesty. To judge both the quick and the dead, we may rise to the life immortal, through him who liveth and reigneth with thee in the Holy Ghost now and ever. We can find the scripture in many places translated in different ways. And it's good to look at other translations to compare, and sometimes we understand better what King James says. But we also have to be careful about what translations can miss. And this has always been a sticking point to me, and I imagine for all of you, that certain words sort of diminish the meaning or the significance of the doctrine about our Lord, about the Blessed Mother. And I read one that's very familiar to all of us, probably, from the 7th chapter of Isaiah, the 14th verse. Therefore the Lord himself shall give you a son. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel. A lot of modern translations have translated that as a young woman. Now, true, in Jewish times, in Old Testament times, women were virgins, but if she was found not to be a virgin, she would be stoned. But nonetheless, it's important that the scripture set forth the fact that our Blessed Mother was a virgin, and that she conceived by the Holy Ghost. So there's no confusion about how our Lord came about, that had he been conceived by a man, he would not be God. So I sort of exhort myself and others to compare scriptures, but always be mindful of the best translation you can get, the most accurate one. The King James, which has been given to us, the golden casket given by Holy Mother Church, is the closest and most accurate. Those scriptures being translated directly from the Hebrew and the Greek. So I close with this idea. that the word was always given by God to holy men as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. When we take that on board, we are ready then to receive once again on the Feast of Christmas that word of God becoming incarnate. God with us, Emmanuel. May we all have a happy but blessed Advent and prepare for a glorious and joyous Christmas when the Word became flesh and was dwelt among us. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Yeah.